through 10. Now, let me just tell you, Paul is working backwards, or not backwards, but he's working, he's going to tell us in verses 1 through 5 about the resurrection body, and then verses 6 through 9, basically, he tells us about what we call the intermediate state, those who die and await the resurrection. This is God's word. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a body from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This for the reading of God's holy and infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we reflect on God's word together. The Bible constantly reminds us that death is our enemy. It is the intrusion in God's perfect world. We heard this morning it came into this world because of sin. It's not God's original design or purpose for this world. And death is a manifestation of what happens when sin comes in. It destroys what God has made. It ruins, ultimately, what God intended. And death rips apart the fabric of our life. Literally, it separates body and soul. And it rips loved ones from us. That's why it's so painful. Because it's not meant to be. But the glorious hope that we have in Christ is that death is not going to define God's world permanently. Because Christ came, and through His resurrection, He has triumphed, trampled on death itself. And now, all who believe in Christ, all who believe in Christ, have nothing to fear in death anymore. Now, let's be honest. Dying is not pleasant. For some, it may be very painful. For some, it may be fast. For some, it may be slow. But it's still unpleasant. But it is not to be feared. Why? Because Jesus said in John 14, I go and prepare a place for you. And when I've prepared the place, I will come again and take you that you may be with me where I am. So everyone who dies, dies at the appointment of Jesus Christ. He comes to meet us in that moment to take us to be with him. And that means that the place, all that he has done, we won't know what it is until he comes, until we see it. We might wonder, well, I wonder, what does Jesus have to do to prepare a place for me there? But that's the glorious hope. Jesus is there, waiting, ready to receive, and he says, that you may be with me where I am. Jesus longs so that we can be there with him. And that's what death is for the believer. And that's why Paul here tells us to be present in the body is to be away from the Lord. It means we live by faith and not by sight. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We go to be with him. That's why Paul in Philippians 1 tells us that for the believer, death is gain. That's a strange thing to say, isn't it? Death, gain? Yes. Because the believer goes to be with Christ. And as Paul says there, which is surely something of an understatement, isn't it far better to be with Christ than to be here? Of course it is. It is far better to be with him. And so, this is the glory that even death do not separate us from Christ. As Paul so emphatically put it there in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not even death. Death cannot undo the work of Christ. And so the believer have nothing to fear in death. Nothing. But the unbeliever has much to fear. Because those who die without Christ have nothing to anticipate but judgment. Now, this state is a wonderful comfort, but it is not the ultimate comfort of our hearts. The glorious hope is that we will be in this very body as we are right now, bodily present with the Lord. And that's why the Christian hope is not a spiritual resurrection. It's not that these bodies are useless junk that needs to be thrown away. No, they were made by God. And we see in Jesus' resurrection that God will destroy death's hold even on our physical bodies. And that's what Paul is telling us here in verses 1 through 5. When he talks about the tent, he is talking about our bodies now. And I've lived long enough, and I have visited with some of you long enough to know that these bodies are full of trouble, full of misery and pain. We don't age easily, do we? Our bodies let us know. And Paul says, this body is like a tent. It's our earthly dwelling. It's temporary, like a tent would be. But he says what we long for, and this is a beautiful expression, is a house not made with hands. A house not made with human hands that we built. A house that God built for us. That's the resurrection body. It is a divine gift to us. This is remarkable, isn't it? And that's why Paul says we yearn for this. We long to be not unclothed, not naked, but fully clothed. We want a life that reflects the life of God that we can share with him forever. And that is coming. That's the hope that we have in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, he gives us that beautiful description of the glory of that body as he contrasts it with our body now. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable has put on the imperishable, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. And hear what that victory is. No longer are we mortal, we are immortal. No longer are our bodies perishable, prone to sickness, illness, disease. No, now our bodies would be clothed with power, not weakness. We would be imperishable. Now you know what this means. This means that everything that is lacking in our life with God here will be fully, we will be fully capable of pursuing, worshiping, delighting, glorying in God there as we desire here. What do I mean? Let's be honest. How often do you not come here and you're exhausted? You know you need to be excited about coming to worship the Lord, but you have no enthusiasm. You feel guilty. Your heart is cold. You sing about glorious truth and all you want to do is yawn. You listen to the word and it's meant to be something life-altering. But it hardly penetrates your mind and heart because you're thinking about your cows or the cows that are running wild or some other problem that you need to go fix. If our understanding of worship is what the Bible says it is, that God is here, that we're meeting with Him, there is no other place in the world where the true believer would want to be. And yet we can find so many excuses to absent ourselves from worshiping God, can't we? But you know, in heaven, we would not lack any of that desire. Our hearts and our bodies, our minds and souls would all be fully engaged all the time. There would not be a moment where our thoughts run one way and our voices sing there. We will be fully engaged. And we would love Christ with all of our being, all of the time. Now let me just say, if you think that will be boring, that is a problem. It is a huge problem because you see, if you don't love Christ here, if you don't find Christ's presence here desirable, then you will not find heaven glorious. Because the glory of heaven is not the glory we will have, but is Christ.
He is the glory of heaven.
And Cousins took some of the thoughts of Samuel Rutherford and she wrote this beautiful hymn. Now, I've not figured out if we can sing it or not, so don't worry, we're not singing it. I'm just reading it. But here is Rutherford's anticipation. He says, "O Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deeply I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride's eye are not on her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land." That's the believer's gaze. The Lamb is all the glory. All the glory. Now, do you notice how Paul tells us in verse 5? Here of 2 Corinthians. He who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. How do you and I know with absolute certainty that we will enjoy this triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God has given us already the first down payment of heaven in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Heaven has come already into the believer's heart. Joy in Christ begins here. But it will not end here. Amen. Let's pray.